I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Oh, man, really excited now to be joined by Danny Ventura, the Boston Herald sports journalist, along with Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSNO Sports. And Danny V, how are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing okay. Kearns is here somewhere.
Yeah, I'm at my house, Rick. We're usually here on Monday night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this COVID thing, Dan, has us all messed up, you know. So usually he's here. He's usually pushing the buttons for me. How are you doing, though, overall? How's everything going?
Everything is fine. I mean, doing the best we can. I mean, it's not a perfect world, but, you know, we're making the best of it.
Excellent.
The kids are out there, so, I mean, that's a plus.
So much to ask you about, Dan, in terms of all of that, the sports season. I mean, we haven't talked to you in quite a while. But I want to start first with current events. And Tim is a former AP history teacher, and I'm a former math teacher. And what went on recently with the Duxbury High School thing, with the coach being fired and so on, and the so-called anti-Semitic audibles? I don't even think anti-Semitic even touches how serious an offense this is in terms of education. And as far as I'm concerned, it's an epic fail for education when we have what went on. But you stand above this stuff where you are. You get much more information about it than we do. Dan, tell me a little bit about the genesis of what happened at Duxbury High School and maybe how you're looking at it all.
I mean, I'll start off. I agree with you. I mean, there's no place. I mean, the words that we use, there's no place for it. I mean, it just makes zero sense. I mean, if we first learned of it, it would have been the second week, the Friday night, they played Silver Lake, which was in their second game of the year. We learned that the coach had been suspended. At that point, we had no clue, you know, why. Mm-hmm. You know, the AD was, you know, and as we know now, you could see why he was very nervous about this. Because, you know, it's something we can't talk about right now. It's an in-house matter. But Monday, you know, my colleague Matt Feld picked up some stuff, and that's where he was the first to learn that, you know, the issue was terminology and, you know, words that were being used, you know, as others have come out and printed as well, as Auschwitz. You know, the word kike was used, and a lot of anti-Semitic words, and it's like, well, why in God's name? You know, the Webster Dictionary is pretty big enough as it is. There's so many words there. You've got to use those words. Mm-hmm. I mean, it boggled the mind. I mean, there's really no explanation for it.
Tim?
You know, Danny, one of the things that struck me was, were these terms given to the kids by the coaches who absolutely should have known better, or were these just ones the kids made up in the huddle as an audible?
That's you know, nobody has really come out and said where they came from. The only thing we do know is that everybody knew it was going on. So, you know, whether it was the kids who did it, the coaches knew the kids were doing it, whether the coaches were the ones who instigated it or whatever the case may be. The bottom line is that everybody there knew what was going on.
Danny, my dad, we're in Germany in 1960. My dad was in the Army. He had been in the Marines. He was an Iwo Jima survivor from World War II in the Marines, and then he ended up in the Army after that. And in 1960, he went on a mission. It was called Winter Shield 1, I believe it was called, in Grafenwehr, Germany, and he was gone away for a couple of months. And we were living in Germany. I was 12 years old. And I don't know, fifth or sixth grade. When my dad came back from that, he talked about having visited Dachau, which is another concentration camp. And this was 15 years after the end of World War II. And he was shaken to the core about visiting that 15 years later. And it left such an impression on me as a fifth or sixth grader that I learned everything I could and absorbed all of that about World War II and about the atrocities that took place. And as a teacher, and I know Tim can say the same thing, and you can too as an educated person, this kind of thing is just unimaginable in the year 2021. And Dan, you've covered football, you've covered high school sports for so many years now, and you've seen bullying, you know, you've seen hazing, But we've never encountered. I can't remember anything like this. It as you said, boggles the mind.
It's reprehensible, to say the least. I mean, I'm almost speechless, to be honest with you. I mean, mm-hmm. How would they have said this? And you know what bothers me more is that there are people in the community who feel that, you know what, they've been punished enough. And it's like, are you serious?
Oh, God.
I mean, that's where it's scary, because if some of them are tolerating it, then, you know, what does that tell you about the kids there? They're going to be tolerant of it.
How do you
think? That's where the problem I have. And the other issue I have is we've heard stuff that schools have come out and said, you know, they've been doing this for years. Well, if they have been doing this for years, why didn't you say anything?
Right.
You're just as complicit then. You know, it's almost like you tolerated that this was going on. Wow. I mean, I can tell you that I would hope that if I was on a sideline covering a game and I heard it, I would go up to the athletic director and say, hey, look, you know, I may not be the most popular guy for doing it, but I said, you better do something with these kids because this is what they're saying.
Wow. Tim?
You know, one of the things that they've talked about is the lack of education in the schools regarding events like the Holocaust. And years ago when I taught in Everett, we were involved in a program called Teaching History in Ourselves, and it was about the Holocaust and about the Armenian genocide and you know, the losses and the tragedy and its meaning. And one of the things with the new history program that are being developed on a national level, there's a lot of things being left out. Lots that we put in a civics program, and then they got rid of it because of the mass standards had to be met. How do you not keep teaching civics? How the government operates? You know, how do you eliminate, you know, major events from history that widen students' perspectives and get them to question just what our predecessors have done and what it means socially, what it means culturally. The system has done such a disservice to the education of the kids that these things, these tragedies, are bound to happen because they just don't know any better. The coaches can tell them to say, oh, well, just say Auschwitz or something. And the kids go, no one would know to go, hey, I don't think that's a good term, because they don't know about it.
Tim, you are so right. I mean, you see what's being taught in the schools, and this stuff is not being taught. I mean, so, you know, you go back to what you're saying. I mean, you know, they don't know. I mean, when we were in school, that was part of history. You know, we were told, hey, this is what happened to the Jews in the 1930s and 40s. You know, they were killed because they were Jewish, which was awful.
I had two films that I taught when we were covering Europe and World War II. One was called Nightmare's End, and the other, You Are Free. It was about the liberation of the death camps in Europe towards the end of the war. And the kids would be horrified at what they saw, and they would have so many questions about it. But at the end of the 3 or 4 days of watching those films, they had an understanding that the Holocaust was real.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, what I don't, you get these people, I guess they don't believe the Holocaust happened. I mean, incredibly insulting, and not to mention stupid. But I think the state senator Barry Feingold reached out to Duxbury. He's a Jew, and he played football. He mentioned that when he was in college, he had to take for a Jewish holiday. He had to take he was petrified that he had to go up to his coach and say, "I can't play because this is a holy day for me." And you know, it worked out well for him. But you know, this is how strong his faith was, that he loved football, but he was willing to put, you know, his faith above that. And what he wanted to express is that how much this, you know, how hurtful this was, the things that were said, why it was hurtful, you know, why they should realize, you know, these words, you know, have, you know, really cut to the core for a lot of Jewish people in society.
I wonder if Julian Edelman is going to reach out to the Duxbury School Committee or whatever. I see that they're holding a select board meeting tonight, and this coming week's game, this is Passover coming up. So this coming week's game, I guess, for Duxbury is canceled, Dan?
Yeah, they had actually done it this morning. They didn't make it official until the afternoon. but they will not play. They have not made any determination on what's going to happen the rest of the season as of yet.
Okay.
I mean, it's a seven-game season. This is week four. I mean, you know, I don't know where you know, at this point with 3 weeks left in the season, is it prudent, you know, maybe just pull the plug and, you know, start fresh with a whole new coaching staff next year? Or do you go with the other people saying, oh, there were a lot of kids on this team who didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, they're being punished unfairly.
You know, what's incredible to me is that this is a program that's one of the most successful high school football programs in the state ever. And then you have this, and it's like, you know, you combine that with January 6th, and I'm thinking, boy, have we failed as educators in this country, and we've got to do better. But Dan, I don't think that should take away from all of the good things that all the coaches have done that you can testify to in Eastern Massachusetts during this COVID year, and maybe you could reflect a little bit on that, because I think overall, and I'm glad we talked about this, and thank you for doing that, but overall, what the coaches have done, the athletic directors have done, and dare I say it, even the MIAA, has been spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I do want to go back to Duxbury before I answer your question, the sad part about it is that Dave Mamron, who's the coach, was probably one of the most proactive guys in terms of charity work in the community. I mean, they were legendary. Their teams would always be out, you know, on a Saturday morning after a Friday night game, whatever, you know, volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And their work was legendary. And this, you know, this wipes everything out.
Right.
But, you know, going back to what you said, you know, I mean, coaches have said that they've never been more exhausted in their lives than doing this, but just seeing the joy in the kids' faces made it all the worthwhile. And it has not been easy. I mean, I can't envision, you know, running around 80 minutes with a mask on your face. You know, a lot of these different rules. You know, coaches who basically have probably never washed more in their lives than they've had to, you know, washing basketballs, you know, whatever the case may be, ensuring the social distancing. You know, athletic directors have been kind of, you know, have been putting on the hot seat because they've got to play the bad cop and tell people, you know, we can't have X amount of people in these games, which has made them very unpopular. And, you know, they've done things, you know, things they've done is they've tried through, you know, social media, you know, streaming the games. So if people can't get to the games, at least they can see the games. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's the next best thing. And just, there's just so many things. I mean, the MIA, you know, has tried, you know, they've done the best they could. You know, they've tried to, you know, they set up a fourth season so that people who couldn't play in the fall are playing right now. So, I mean, you know, everyone's had to pitch in. I mean, there's no solution for this. There's no, you know, there's no coach's guide for what to do during a pandemic. So a lot of it's just trial and error. And, you know, I applaud everyone for their effort.
You know, Dan, we're talking about, you know, all of the things that the ADs and the MIA have done. Well, you know, I'm not sure I go along with this, is the fact that after telling everybody else, your seasons are canceled, no tournament play, they turn around for the spring and they go, well, you guys can have a tournament. And for me, I'm not sure that's fair. And as a former coach, yeah, you want to have a tournament, but, boy, at the expense of everybody else, and all of a sudden you get to have, you know, you get to have the piece of cake. I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure that's going to sit well with a lot of kids who only played one or two, maybe as fall sports, did nothing in the spring, and they're watching everybody else get a chance to play for a title while they had a winning season, they won their conference, but they couldn't play for you know, the greater glory.
Well, you know, the flip side of that is that last year, the fall sports did have a championship. And the winter sports, they got to play as far as the state final.
Right.
And it was the spring season, got nothing. And I think what you're seeing here is I think there's a lot of, you know, athletic directors who are very sympathetic to the student athletes who participate in the spring. And I think what they've tried to do is look at it along the lines of, you know, these kids had nothing last year. We owe it to them to at least give them something. Now, the issue has become, you know, the sectional tournament versus a state tournament. You know, they felt like if we give them a sectional tournament, that should be fine. And then a lot of coaches said, well, you know, if we're going to do a sectional tournament, what's the problem with going two more games and just doing a regular state tournament? and there was so much pressure put on them that they backed off and voted, you know, we'll do a state tournament.
Hey, Danny, bring me up to date here on this Pick-A-Rama thing. What's that all about?
It's my weekly attempt to alienate as many schools as possible.
Yeah, Bill and I and Tim have stayed away from that, but go ahead.
Yeah, basically, every week I pick 10 games. So I think I alienate all 20 coaches. There's 10 coaches who are mad at me for picking them to win, and the other who feel like I'm disrespecting them by picking them to lose. I guess it's a lose-lose scenario, but we, as long as they realize it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
I mean, some people take it a little too, a little bit too extremes, but most people take it in good spirit.
Well, and yeah, when you write the wrap up on it, you know, you've got your tongue in cheek, and it's funny to watch, to read, and so on. And I think the kids will appreciate it, but it is funny as a bozo. What are you seeing right now in terms of? I'm confused because it's fall two for football, but then you take the Greater Boston League, and they're just wrapping up their basketball and hockey season.
Right. They were one of those that couldn't. They got delayed because most of their communities were in the red, and they basically are behind the eight ball in terms of when they've been able to get going. For instance, football, they just started this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so they're going to, I think they said something like April 16th might be when they start their football season. They're only going to be able to play four games.
It's amazing. And I know when I talk with the coaches, they're very much appreciative of the kids' efforts, Dan, and I'm wondering if it's like that in your coverage on Eastern Massachusetts, up and down the coast here, when you talk to the coaches or the kids about they have the change of focus. They can't look on a 10 or 20 game season, and they can't look at a championship. They just look at, we're going out to play today.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have said that, you know, they were resigned to the fact that they may not have sports.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're getting this is better than nothing. And I think they've really appreciated the fact that, hey, you know, we're at least getting out there.
Tim?
it's been such a wacky, crazy last two sports seasons for the high school. So I'm gonna jump to the colleges and the pros. It's been just as wacky for them as they've seen games canceled, as the virus has struck members of teams. People have been tested positive, and teams have had to cancel games and move games. Even the pros, no athletic program around the country has been free from the impact of the virus.
No, I mean, you look at it in high school, I mean, you know, the one, it's funny with football, because you always hear these coaches, you know, we need a week to prepare for the opposition, and you're finding out that plugs are being pulled on games on a Thursday.
Yep.
And they're winding up, oh, we're going to play so-and-so tomorrow. So, you know, they go from, like, you know, the normal week of preparing for an opposition to basically, in some cases, less than 24 hours. It's just, you know, just so much that they want to, you know, at least give something to the kids.
Good point. You got a lot of stuff in the Herald. Promote some of the stuff you're talking about, because you got your top teams, your top 20. You got, you know, the Pick-A-Rama. Tell me about what's coming up this week, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get into the volleyball. There's some, you know, big volleyball matches throughout Eastern Mass. We'll start covering them. This week will be a little crazy week because you got the first time ever you've had, you know, East Good Friday being with high school football, so you're going to get a lot of Thursday night football games, you know, and you know, as far as Saturday as well. Usually a Friday night during football is hectic. This week it's almost like a week off, and I think there's only like 15 games mm-hmm. on Good Friday. And then, you know, we do like Friday, we do the Sweet 16 every Monday. We have a Stars of the Week where we try to honor the top players in each division. And, you know, during the week, we'll do our Friday football profile where we, you know, feature one kid in Eastern Mass. And we try to rotate the area so we're not keeping everyone in the same area.
Hey, final question for me, Dan, and then I'll let Tim have the final question overall. In terms of the North Shore, and let's keep it on Fall 2 right now, what's the biggest story for you in terms of either a surprise or what you've expected? You know, I guess we'd focus on football.
I am a little surprised at the prep. I mean, I know they lost some key, they lost some great seniors from last year. They had two very good players transfer out. I'm a little surprised that they've struggled a bit.
Tim?
And granted, they played, you know, the competition, you know, they've lost to two of the top 10 teams in Eastern Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they just don't seem to be crisp.
You know, one of the things I've found historically, Danny, is that the prep teams always start slow. Almost across the board in sports, they always start slow. And then they pick it up mid-season, and then they're absolutely steamrolling at season's end. That takes them into tournament play. But you're right. I mean, they have to go up against Severian and Catholic Memorial 1 week after the other. That had to put a lot of stress on not only the kids, but the coaching staffs as well.
And, you know, you're dealing, you know, you have a new quarterback there that, you know, they've been used to having the same kid for a couple of years at quarterback, and you got a new guy in there now. I mean, it's never easy. And, you know, you're not loaded, you know, in a lot of leagues, you know, you get a couple of easy games to get going. You know, their easy games have been BC High and BC High and Catholic Memorial. And then they got, this week they're going to play St. John's of Shrewsbury, and Zavarian is coming up. So, I mean, you don't have the non-league breaks that they've had because, you know, one of the things with COVID is they've tried to schedule, so either you're staying in your geographical area or you're staying within your league. And the prep is pretty much, except for the first game where they played St. Mary's. But other than that, they've pretty much, you know, had to stay in the league, and the league is pretty tough.
Danny, it's so great for you to take the time to do this with us. I can't express my appreciation enough. It's great to learn from you, and I hope we can do it again in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Call anytime.
I appreciate that, Danny. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
That is the great Danny Ventura, who is also known as Danny V, Donato Ventura, of the Boston Herald, and it's just terrific that he could elucidate for us. Tim, any final thoughts?
No, again, just want to extend my thanks to Danny. It's always good to get the Boston perspective on a lot of local stuff that's near and dear to our house, but also some of the bigger issues across the state.
Yeah, really, and he's got resources that I can't even imagine. I'd love to be able to tap into. But great talking with Danny. It's fantastic listening to him, and always the positive outlook too. I appreciate that. Tim, we'll check in with you later on. But in the meantime, my thanks to Danny Ventura of the Boston Herald. This is MSONewsSports.com. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.